This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
James Harden agrees to a three-year, $97 million deal to remain with the Cavs. Cavs are, of course, in our world today because that's where Peyton Watson will be playing next season, but a new three-year, $97 million contract to stay with Cleveland. Player option for 28-29 and a trade kicker, according to his agents. He will now, his career earnings, James Harden, will now reach $511 million, making him the fourth player in NBA history to eclipse the $500 million mark, joining the Sixers, LeBron James, the Rockets, Kevin Durant, and Golden State, Steph Curry. A lot of cheese for James Harden.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's such a good idea. Is he deserving of that much money?
He's a good player. Yeah. He's still one of the top scorers in the league.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of money, but...
How much money is he going to put into that beard?
Oh, a beard oil, probably. I'm assuming he'll get
probably,
some.
He probably bought like $100,000.
Yeah. The Lakers minority owner, Dr. Patrick Soon Xiong, not selling 4% of stake. So the fight continues here. The fight over what will happen to the Buss family and their stake in the Los Angeles Lakers begins in the wake of Mark Walters' shocking sale of his majority ownership of the franchise to Bob Iger and Josh Kushner. And one of the team's minority owners, Dr. Patrick Soon, has no plans to sell his part of the team. Interesting there. This is a weird one. The University of Utah is suing former assistant Freddie Whittingham for breach of contract. Freddie, not Kyle. Freddie is Kyle's brother. For breach of contract after he left the Utes to join the coaching staff of Kyle Whittingham at Michigan. University attorneys filed a lawsuit on August 3rd in Utah's 3rd District Court alleging that Freddie Whittingham abandoned his role as Utah's tight ends coach, despite being under contract through January 2027. Utah is seeking more than $300,000 from Whittingham for breach of contract and at least $1 million for general and special damages. The lawsuit claims that Whittingham failed to get written consent, according to ESPN, from Utah to engage with Michigan, failed to provide Utah with written notice of resignation, failed to pay liquidated damages specified under the terms of the contract, and failed to devote full-time attention and energy to the duties of being a Utah assistant, adding that Whittingham actively recruited Utah players and recruits to Michigan while still employed by Utah. Now, that's a big deal, Mike.
That's a big deal. Because not only do you have the courts involved, you have the NCAA now with an exclamation mark over the head going, wait, what?
Yeah. I mean, if he's on payroll there but planning to leave Michigan and then they never really let him out of his contract and then he's actively working for Michigan while being paid by Utah, that's a
very Michigan thing to do.
Mm-hmm. And I like Kyle Whittingham. Kyle obviously had to have something to do with this, right? Because he's bringing his brother over and he's cool with him helping out Michigan and stuff, but that's unfortunate.
Did Kyle's brother not understand that you have to give notice?
Like, I don't know.
At first, to me, it sounded a little frivolous, like, oh, whatever. They're just trying to get a little bit of money. But hearing the second half of it.
Freddie Whittingham had worked under his brother at Utah since 2012, so he'd been there a while too with Kyle. First as a director of player personnel, then a recruiting coordinator, and then tight ends coach. So, crazy. NFL news, this is one I was kind of paying attention to. The hold-in for Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive tackle Vita Vea ended on Wednesday when the team announced it had agreed to terms on a contract extension with the two-time Pro Bowler. That's an agreement with the Buccaneers on a one-year extension that adds $6 million to the $18 million he was already set to make in 2026.
Vita Vea, former Washington Husky.
Okay, nobody cares. Why do you have to? You're interrupting. Like you're interrupting the flow of the top stories of the day by giving nonsense. Nobody cares. He plays for the Buccaneers.
He does.
He plays for the Buccaneers.
Good for him. He's
former Ole Miss starters DaQuan Wright, Xavier Harris, and Wydette Williams, all of whom signed with NFL teams this summer, are among a group of athletes who were granted a temporary restraining order Wednesday to return to college for one more season. Crazy. This one's out of control. The trio of former Rebel standouts joined 30 other athletes, and we've been following this story, from a variety of sports in a lawsuit filed against the NCAA. The whole 2022 thing, all these players. The list of plaintiffs includes 16 football players, several who signed with NFL teams and participated in training camps earlier this month. This is a sticky situation here because they signed before they knew this was going to be allowed the fifth year, but you signed. I think that's it. Sorry, rule changes happen, but you already signed. On this one, it's tough because even with the Brock Wisney story, Mike, he had signed with Spain, and then we heard the amendment to what the Colorado judge said of like, hey, you can have the fifth year, but if you already signed a professional contract and you won't be able to transfer, you just go back to the school that you were playing with. You can't, there's not going to be like a special transfer portal window for this. I actually kind of agree with that. And I like Brock and I was for him, but it's like you already signed a professional contract. They're committing to you, you're committing to them. The schools, UNC's moving on. Not to say they wouldn't want Brock Wisney back, but they're moving on. It's freaking August now. And that's late for basketball. I can't imagine football. I just think if you signed a contract, if you already signed something, then no, it's done.
Yeah,
I think in the NFL, if you declare for the draft and don't get drafted, that still, to me, means you're done.
So all these people were basically unsigned free agents?
Yeah, they were all unsigned.
And they signed contracts.
But they
if I was the NFL
contracts.
Teams, I'd say, screw you. We're cutting you now.
Well, they clearly don't think they're going to make... I mean, they might have... They probably signed, like, the training camp contract, you know. Not big contracts, just get a chance to go to camp. So clearly they knew... Clearly they were seeing the writing on the wall, thinking, I'm not going to make it yet in the NFL, so I might as well go back and get one more year. We got consequences, man. See, like, I do think the NCAA screwed the pooch here. I think they messed up. They should have went back to 2022 and just cleaned it up. If they're like a guy like Brock Wisney, just look at that. Okay, he played four straight years. He should have a fifth year. That should be, go back to 2022. Just do the math on it. However, I do think that if a college, I'm tired of like, oh, I'm transferring all the time. And oh, I'm going to the NFL and the NBA. Oh, I didn't make the team. I'm going to go back to college. There needs to be consequences. If you want to take the risk and you have another year of eligibility, and again, this one's weird, but this is kind of a side tangent. I think the NCAA is doing the right thing by saying you're basically, if you commit to leave, you declare for whatever, then you're dumb. You're done. Sorry, not dumb. You're done. Now, this one's weird because they didn't know they were going to get that fifth year, so they went ahead and tried to get into the NFL. It's kind of life is tough. Life ain't always fair. That's kind of how I feel with this. If you were following along and you were involved in the lawsuit, then wait to sign a contract, but nah, I don't know.
If a judge rules that these players can go back and they do go back, they're going to have to pay the NFL.
Who?
these players. They're going to have to return their checks.
Well, what if it's just like a training camp type deal? Like, it's not a long-term deal.
I know, but you're still getting paid for training camp.
I would imagine so. Yeah, if you go out of your contract. These players have expressed an interest in being released from their NFL contracts, according to attorney Ryan Doughton. And if their NFL teams release, okay, so this is part of it. If their NFL teams release them by September 1st, they will be allowed to join a college roster under the restraining order. No.
If one of these guys was with the Broncos, I'd say, I don't care how good you are next year.
We don't have to relate it to the Broncos all the time.
Well,
any player might be
involved.
Yeah, but you don't have to just. It doesn't have to be a Broncos story. It's an NFL thing.
If I was the Broncos and I signed one of these players, I'm like, this guy doesn't want to be with us.
Correct, but
we don't want to be with him.
You're obsessed with the Broncos. Just put him away for a second. Just put him away. Put the Broncos away. Can you put him on a shelf?
How about Spain? The Spain professional
basketball
team.
I already made the comparison. I already did it, but you have to find a way. Oh, he played for Washington. Oh, the Broncos. You have to find a way to insert your fandom, your obsession into all these conversations. Sorry, I lost it a little bit there. That was a little much. GoPoke says, I'd suggest a high level of caution for any program publicly taking a stand on any eligibility issues. That really opens them up for litigation. I just think that if you signed a contract, it's done. You gotta move on. If you said, hey, I'm done with college, I'm declaring for the draft, that's it. NBA, not all these guys declare for NBA, right? There's two rounds. But there has to be something where it's like, I'm going to sign a contract. I'm going to go play for Spain. You got to let the teams know. So I don't want this to be dragging out every summer. Oh, you just barely got on a. I think this is part of the 5 for 5 thing, but I don't like the way this is heading. Because if these guys win, then is it going to be, oh, you're going to try out for an NFL team. You didn't make it. Now you're going to go back to college? First off, that's tough for a lot of teams. And there's going to be a lot of teams that be like, hell yeah, I'll take that guy back. I mean, there's plenty of players we've looked at and said, they should have stayed in college for a few more years. Well, you got to make that decision. And there needs to be consequences. And if you say you're good enough to go to the NFL, but you don't get picked up, you don't get to come back. That's where I stand on that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Texter, did said player know they had an option for another year when they signed the pro deal? No, because the NCAA screwed that up. And they did. The fact that this is going this far is dumb to me. But I also kind of feel like if they didn't know that there was going to be another year, a fifth season, I'm standing my ground on that, Mike. Tough. You know, you signed a contract. It's already done. And you might get released, but I don't think you should be able to get onto a college roster on September 1st. That's just crazy to me. 18 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. You're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Front Range Spare Change returns for the 2026 football season. Find podcasts on 1310KFKA.com, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
This is Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. Big City Roadhouse, great sponsor here on the program. You got to check out their brunch menu that they do every Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. They got the Roadhouse, which is two eggs, potatoes, bacon, toast, French toast, chicken and waffles, Belgian waffles, Roadhouse Rancheros. That looks delicious. And a breakfast burger, fried egg, bacon, American cheese, and potatoes on that bad boy. And, of course, the famous breakfast burrito. Which style of breakfast food are you, Mike? Are you like a waffles kind of dude or a breakfast burrito kind of guy? Or eggs and bacon kind of guy?
Yes.
Well, you can't be both. Like, if you had to pick.
If any of them are in front of me, I will.
Okay, but if you're picking, Mike, come on. Can you play the game? Are you more of a waffles and French toast dude or more of an eggs, bacon, you know, burrito kind of dude.
I'm waffles over French toast.
Okay.
Breakfast burrito I could have at all times of the day. It's tough to choose because breakfast, while
I'm
it's not
definitely
my favorite,
not a waffles or French toast guy. Not into that. That doesn't do it for me.
Pancakes?
Not really. I don't mind them, but I'm not ordering that. I'm never going to go to a breakfast place and order waffles or French toast. I'm going to do, if I'm there, if I'm going to take advantage of this brunch menu, I'm either going to do the breakfast burger, which looks ridiculous, breakfast burrito, or the Roadhouse. That's what I'm going to go with.
I'd say if I want something breakfast throughout the day, it's probably going to be burritos. Because breakfast burrito isn't just a breakfast. It should be all day. Like, that's what it should be. That and pizza.
I don't know. Go to a breakfast place then. We're talking about Big City Roadhouse and their brunch menu. It's fantastic.
Talking about practice.
We are talking about practice. How about this one, Mike? Ann Delaney from the Greeley Tribune. And this is I kind of knew this was going on. The University of Northern Colorado football team and the Colorado State Rams have renewed their schedule, Mike. The Bears are going to have four opportunities to go take on the Colorado State Rams at Canvas Stadium through 2035. The school signed contracts to play games in 2029, 2032, 2033, and 2035, according to FBSschedules.com. That's cool. Mike, do you think CSU should play? Would it be cool? Would it be good to play UNC every year? I think it'd be good for the state.
If you're going to play an FCS team, it might as well be UNC. Or try Montana State. But UNC is going to be good in the future. And I like this whole Colorado rivalry thing.
Not until 2029.
So I'd like to see CU play Air Force more.
Oh, I would love to see CU play Air Force. Maybe they will. Maybe that whole thing where they were down practicing in Colorado Springs, Coach Prime's hanging out with Troy Calhoun, maybe something will come from that. That would be cool. I like these matchups, man. I think it's great for the state, for the area. UNC is going to be playing Wyoming this week, this year. So
I
that's
think
good.
Week two.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, Faith says they get to see you coming up too. I think. When does that start up? Can you Google that for me? Is that 2029? I think that's either 2028 or 2029. Colorado will play the Rams again, and they'll kind of get a couple years where they'll be going back at it again. I wish they were playing this year. That'd be fun. I would make no predictions in that game, Mike. There's too much heat on me right now with the Buff stuff. There's just too much heat, and it's crazy. Did you find it?
Not even going to pick it on Friday?
Well, picks are on Friday, everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
What? Stop. Is that? I don't want you to ruin what I made a good thing. I created a good thing, and you have now butchered it.
What do you mean everyone?
No,
everyone!
That doesn't mean play the same clip. That doesn't mean play the same clip over and over again.
They will be playing the Buffaloes September 16th, 2028. That'll be at Folsom Field and one in 2031 on September 13th.
And doesn't UNC play CU next year? I think so.
What the internet says is 2028.
UNC and CU? Yeah. Okay. Not CSU and – okay. I didn't know which one you were looking up. You looked up UNC and CU?
Yeah.
Okay. What about CSU and CU?
I will look.
That was the one I originally asked you to look up. This could be a process, though. Yeah, they'll play September 15th, 2029. So we still got some time until we renew that rivalry. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. I like this, Mike. I think it's great. Even if UNC goes up there and gets smoked, which the last 2 years they played them, Mike, they didn't get smoked. Now, obviously, last year, they should have won that game. That's going to be like one of the most people still talk about that game. But I even go back to September 7th. The Bears lost 38-17, but it was 24-7 at the half. You had the Torrey Horton punt return the 78-yard punt return for touchdown. That was kind of the main thing. And then the Rams scored a field goal. It was 10-0. The Bears scored. Fisher Clements, now Buff, had a touchdown catch from Peter Castelli, made it a 10-7 game. So it was 10-7 after the first quarter. And I think there was a bad turnover at the half, and then CSU got in and scored and made it 24-7. Faye says, I'd like to see UNC play Air Force.
No chance. Air Force just runs a weird offense.
I mean, teams don't like to play Air Force, you know, because of the style they play, that triple option. I think it's a blast to watch. I'm one of the guys that I love watching Air Force play football.
If it was like a straight up offense, I'd say, yeah, cool. But like, do you have the time to focus on Air Force just for 1 week? I mean, Air Force is kind of one of those asterisk wild cards where you think you're going to beat them, but are you really prepared for them?
Well, that's why, like, teams that are that know they're playing Air Force, they'll spend time on them, like, in their bye week, even if they're not the next game. They'll spend time on Air Force because it is such a hard game to prepare for. I wouldn't mind seeing it just because it's local on local, and I'm a big fan of that. So, yeah, it's cool. I'm really looking forward to UNC and Wyoming, though, Mike. Any chance? Any chance the Bears pull off a crazy upset?
There's a chance. They had a chance a few years ago.
Yeah. Wasn't there like a key fumble in that game or something that kind of cost
there was,
the Bears?
I don't think it was a one-score game, but it got really close in the fourth quarter when Wyoming stopped playing football.
Mm-hmm.
They had a chance that was under McCaffrey.
Was that under McCaffrey? That's right.
It was. It was pretty recent.
That was probably what? 2022?
3-4 years ago?
Yeah, they lost 33 to. Was that. They lost 33 to 10, but something weird happened. It was 9-0 Wyoming at halftime. And then, let's see. 9-0.
Fourth quarter did. I do recall the fourth quarter getting blown open.
It was 16-10. The Bears scored a touchdown. Jacob Sermon threw a touchdown pass, and it was 16-10 in the fourth quarter to start the fourth quarter. Wyoming went down, got a field goal, made it 19-10. And then I think there was a fumble, and then Wyoming something weird happened. But the Bears hung in that game. I think it's great to do these, man. Smitty says, this won't be popular with most CSU fans and doubt it would ever happen, but I would love to see us play at UNC rather than us playing UNC, rather than UNC going to Canvas. Let us fill up Nottingham Field. Would be epic for the Bears. Oh, yeah, but Rams fans would never sign off on that. The Rams would never sign off on that.
Not a big enough facility. I mean, you're talking about thousands versus thousands.
Nottingham Field holds how 5, many? 000? Is it 5,000?
I think so.
Yeah. No. 8,500.
Yeah, 8,500, so, but like they're benches.
And Canvas is like 30-some, isn't it?
Yeah.
That wasn't very confident.
No, it wasn't.
I'll Google it, Mike. I think it's close to 40. 36,500, but its total capacity reaches up to 41,000 when including standing room areas. Yeah, I don't know if Nottingham Field could support that. You'd have to do some kind of, not
even
everybody's going to
get a
go. Even
Montana would be like,
it'd be cool. I get what you're saying, though.
Do we have to go to this
place? But it'd be cool. I just don't think CSU would ever go for it. But, hey, the Bears play football next week, Mike. This is our last week. This is our last Friday tomorrow. This is our last Friday of no picks. Picks are on Friday. Everybody knows that. That starts next week. 12:32 the time. Let's go back and get the latest on Sports Press.
Here in Colorado, doing business is more than a transaction. It's a handshake, a neighbor helping a neighbor. And at Bank of Colorado, that's the way it's been since 1978. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado. And as Colorado's largest family-owned bank, we're built on personal service and a commitment to giving back. From local schools to community events, we invest where you live, work, and grow. Because this is more than business. It's home. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Renaissance Insurance was formed by two UNC Bears alumni, talking a lot of Bears lately. The Bears, they formed this thing 20 years ago. Renaissance Insurance has always had our backs. They specialize in risk management, commercial and personal insurance needs for Weld and Larimer County, and are the go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call Renaissance Insurance. Call Ryan at 970-674-8825. Or visit team-rig.com. Okay, I'm seeing like the Buffs people, and again, I'm a hot button topic right now. People are nasty, man. And if you do a blog and you a podcast in your basement, don't tell me you want to come on the show to talk Buffs. We got Brian Howell, okay? We got Mark Johnson. We got the voice of the Buffs. I don't want you, if you're doing your little YouTube thing at your in your basement and then blogging about how much you like your favorite football team. No, I'm good. Don't want that. But the Buffs fans are like saying, what is this, hate week toward Coach Prime? What's going on? You know why, Michael? You know why? Because a Boulder County Sheriff's Office deputy visited the University of Colorado Boulder campus last week during an open practice to serve papers to Coach Deion Sanders. The deputy was told the coach wasn't available. Where was he? I thought he ain't hard to find. Isn't that his thing? Ain't hard to find.
Apparently not.
Apparently, even a sheriff can't find you. The attempt came as Sanders, of course, is being subpoenaed to testify at his son Shiloh's bankruptcy trial, which begins the same week as the Buff season opener at Georgia Tech. So they practice from 9 to 11. This open practice, fans are there, media members are there. The practice was scheduled from 9 to 11 a.m. at Franklin Field. The deputy arrived on campus at 10:22 a.m., August 11th, to serve civil papers to Sanders, according to Boulder County Sheriff's Office spokesperson Kerry Harverfield. At that time, members of the media are there, fans are there, they're watching open practice that was scheduled from 9 to 11, so he's right there in the window. Haverfield said she doesn't know where exactly the deputy went upon arriving on campus, but Sanders was not available at the time to receive the documents, Haverfield said. But CU Boulder staff said, quote, we're cooperative and assisted the deputy in identifying a suitable time to complete the process. So maybe he didn't go to the field? Maybe he didn't know they were practicing at that point. I'm not sure.
He should be allowed to do this through Zoom. A lot of people are in court through Zoom, so like it will affect him quite a bit. But he shouldn't have to fly out and then fly back.
If you're subpoenaed to court, Mike, if you're not properly served, I don't think legally you have to go.
There is some rule, and I don't know if it's a Colorado rule, but if they cannot find you, if they keep not being able to find you, and it's someone else versus you, I think in some states they award the other person.
Looking up a bunch of this stuff last night because I was just curious. The serve part of it is the big deal. Now, if you get served with a court subpoena and do not show up, a judge can hold you in contempt of court, issue a bench warrant for your arrest, and order law enforcement to bring you to court. You could face fines or jail time. Now, just being subpoenaed, though, without the serving part, is where I think it's kind of a sticky area there. Is he ducking this? I'm asking the question. Do you think if they practice 9 to 11... every day, sheriff shows up at 10:22. Did the sheriff not go to the field? Was Coach Prime not on that particular part of that field? Was he going to the bathroom? Was he in a staff meeting or something? Did he know the sheriff was coming? I would imagine he's, as a dad, you want to go testify on behalf of your son, right? So it's just the timing of it. We talked to Mark Johnson about it on Monday, and he was like, he thinks that maybe they could get something moved. I don't think they're going to move a court case for a football game, Mike. I love football, but I don't know.
Some judges would be okay with moving the court case. I think some judges just don't care. So I would hope that they would allow him, they would make it easier for
him.
Yeah,
just do it, you know, via Zoom, so he doesn't have to actually go.
Yeah, Zoom would probably be what they allowed. If they didn't, then I have a problem with the judge.
Valid excuses. Sudden emergencies like a severe medical crisis or a major accident can sometimes excuse a failure to appear, but you must communicate this as soon as possible. So I don't think football is going to be one of those emergencies. Although for the Buffs, they need a win. We really need this one, man. We need this. So we need our guy. We need coach. But this is why he's in the news this week. It's just a lot of these things strike me, you know, they push my brain into a negative state of mind when it comes to the Buffs.
Well, I wasn't there. I'm assuming that he was not at practice. Maybe he was in the restroom. He doesn't have a bladder anymore.
Correct.
So maybe he was taking care of his health. He's had a lot of health issues lately.
But doesn't Sheriff go to field?
I just don't want to be too negative on him.
Well,
if
anyone should be negative on. I'm not necessarily being negative on this. It's just a bad look. It's, you know, Shiloh has a pretty interesting past.
That's what you need to focus on, Shiloh.
He got in the fight, you know, beat up a janitor back when he was in high school. And I think this is all stemming from that. Either way, he's got to be in court. It's not a good situation right now.
Yeah, if I'm the judge,
it's a bankruptcy case trial.
I'm allowing him to go Zoom. Because this is a real circumstance. It affects your life. It affects a lot
True.
Of other people's
It's a paid
lives.
Job. It's your job. And your job is, the biggest part of your job is to win football games. If you don't win football games, you could lose your job.
Yeah, and
so
I think...
You could maybe justify that.
If he was summoned for a jury, I don't think... he would obviously not be allowed because he's such a public figure.
Correct.
But like if he was up for jury duty... I don't think they'd allow you to do that via Zoom. But as a witness who's super busy, I think yes.
But a jury duty, he could get out of that for football coach if it's around a game. Because you could say, hey, if I'm not there to coach my team, there's a good chance we lose. And if we lose, then that can affect my job.
And also he's a public figure.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't want public figures in juries.
But this is news, Mike. This is why the Buffs are in the news. This is why people look at it. It's not a good look. It's not Coach Prime's fault. And again, I can't imagine he's tipped off that a Boulder County sheriff is on his way to deliver you some papers. I can't imagine he said, "All right, I'm gonna go, you know, make myself not visible." I can't imagine that because he could only help his son by testifying at this trial. So I'm not going there at all. But it's not a good look when you have a team that's desperate for wins this year.
And there's another distraction.
And what I say, Mike, is you just add that on to what has been Coach Prime's time. At CU, there has been a lot of things that have just been, you can call him a distraction. You can say he created those. I mean, Mike, when he stormed onto the scene and he did his speech, his We Comin' speech, I mean, that was day one. And it was like, hey, everybody enter that portal because I'm bringing way better players. That's essentially what he said. And from that point on, he has been a hot button topic. If you deny that, you're out of your mind. But like you and I said yesterday, Mike, if he's good, you don't worry about that. Nobody cares. I'm at the point now where I just don't know if it's worth it anymore. Well, I don't know if it's worth it. Now, that one's different, but
yeah,
still,
that's
a, but that's a distraction.
But like everything else that we've said about Prime is legitimate. All the speeches versus the paycheck versus the loss, the winning, losing record. That's all legit. That's all legit arguments in maybe he's not the right coach.
Well, and honestly, to be fair, you have this, and it sounds like this is going to be the start of his fourth season with this story. Last year, it was his health. You remember, he wasn't around much in the offseason, and people were wondering. We didn't know for sure. And then we found out what was going on. And it was bad. And it sucked. You don't wish bad health on anybody. I don't care how much you dislike a football coach or a figure. So that put him behind the eight ball.
And that is a legitimate excuse for, hey, why are they losing? Well, they didn't have their coach all offseason.
And I think Coach Bobo with CSU, I gave him a similar excuse.
And
that, to be fair,
excuses.
We probably should give him more of that leeway. But it's just the other stuff even before that, you know? And then the last year, like I said, the one that really got me was retiring Shadur's number. I can sign off on Travis Hunter's, even though most of the time I would say, no, you need to wait like 5-10 years. Make sure you get your other buffs in there too. But I can actually be okay with that because he won a freaking Heisman.
The in-game issues is really what I have a problem with. Some of the decision-making on his behalf I thought was terrible.
Yeah.
So that's what bothers me the most.
Also his hiring. Like Pat Shurmur.
Yeah, Broncos fans know all about him.
Why did he hire? We all said it right when he hired him. It's like, oh boy, that's not good. So he's the head coach, and he's made some bad hires, and maybe some in-game stuff hasn't been great either. And that's the stuff that you really care about. You could put up with everything. You could put up with the retiring of Shadur's number, even though I don't like it. But if he's winning, and you're constantly winning 8-9 games, and you know, deep into the season, we're talking about you potentially competing for a Big 12 championship. You put up with everything, Mike. I've always said that. I've said that about players. I say that about coaches. When your drama outweighs the production, that's when your mind starts to shift, and that's where my mind is surrounding Coach Prime and the Buffs right now.
If he has that court issue and then goes and beats a really, really, really good football team, do we start shutting up about this?
About Coach Prime?
Yeah. If we start going, maybe.
They go beat Georgia Tech? Yeah. I'll say, okay. This team.
It's Georgia Tech and a couple hours out of your day, assuming they allow him to Zoom.
Yeah, we'll see. 12:49 at the time. We got to take a quick break here. Keep it on the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
The countdown to kickoff starts now. Preps Radio travels to Alt and will be live with the Highland Huskies starting at 5 p.m. Brought to you by the Cow Saloon and Eatery.
Hi, this is Nuggets insider Chris Dempsey, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I'll revisit the Peyton Watson stuff in the final hour of the show. But just kind of where this puts the Nuggets at this stage. And, you know, they win a championship. It's the ultimate high. You have the world's best player. And since then, it's been a tough go for this organization. So, obviously today, not good news. I'm not excited about two draft picks in 567 years. I'm not excited about that. I don't even know if Joker's going to be in the NBA when the Nuggets actually get these draft picks. But we know what it is. They had to. They had to move off of him. Maybe that was the best they could get. We don't have a clip of the day today, Mike. So you're gonna do something.
I'll do my Bill Cosby impression.
No, do not do that. No, good Lord, don't do that. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.